Father, thank you for your word this morning. As we feel the challenge, God, to come up more, God, to come up higher, God. God, thank you, God, for your word this morning. For your presence here with us this morning, God. Move up higher. Lay down those things that are distracting us and stopping us from moving up into a deeper level with you, God. Thank you, God, for this moment in time of worship we have this morning. I pray, God, as we continue with this service, God, we continue with this word this morning, that we are challenged and we are prepared and our hearts are open and ready to receive this morning. Well, it's good to see you this morning. Thank you so much for being here. We are in week three. So this is week three of services, but this is week two of our series that we have started last week. And the title for the series is Upon This Rock. And we're going to continue this week with that series. If you remember last week, just kind of touch over that. Last week we talked about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, and it means that we have to lay our life down. We have to lay us down onto the side and pick up Him and walk with Him. And so this week we're going to speak on a new subject, but I want to read first out of Matthew chapter 16. This is our key scripture, our key title for the for our series, and it is this, and it says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 18, it says, "Now I say to you that you are Peter," and the word Peter means rock, "and as upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer." Another version says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And so this week I want to lay a little bit more of a foundation of who the church is. And with that, we're going to look at the second part of who the church is, and that is the lead part. So if you have seen our sign or seen our logo says lead church on it, and it says follow lead sin. And we're going to look at that second portion today of lead. And so this week as we continue, first I want to define what does it mean, what does that word lead mean? And that word means this is a cause to go with one by holding them by the hand, or a rope or a halter, all while moving forward. It's interesting to me that is part of the definition is that we can lead them, but we have to do another step, and that is we have to move forward.
That's right.
We can't just lead somebody and stay in the same spot that we were at. We have to lead them by moving forward in that step. It also says it's an initiative in an action. An example for others to follow. So if you remember last week, to be a follower, we have to first be a follower of Jesus by picking up our cross daily and following Him. And then today, we are going to talk about leading and how do we lead? How are we part of being a lead? How do we lead people? Are we becoming a leader and having leadership over people, leadership with people? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So I'm going to ask you a few questions I want you to think about. And I want you to think about these in kind of see where we're headed today, but I want to find out, who are you? Who are you? Are you a leader or are you a follower? Now, a lot of people will be like, well, I'm not really a leader because I don't really see that I'm leading anybody. I want you to just hold on to that for a second. Are you a team player or are you a bystander? Are you a coach or are you a fan? A lot of my sermons is going to have something to do with being a sports or fans or something, because that's who I am. I love sports. I love baseball. I love watching sports and doing things. So a lot of things you're going to hear is going to have some sort of a sports reference, and that's just because that's who I am. I guess if I was a computer guy, you would hear a lot about computers. But trust me, you don't want me talking to you about computers. That would be very not good. My wife says amen because she knows that is not good. But I want to look this morning at the life of Paul, but I also want to look at the life of Timothy. So if you have your Bible, you can flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we are going to look at verse 1 and 2 this morning. And I believe it's up here on your screen. It is. And so it's going to say this. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it says this. This letter is from Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, appointed by the command of God, our Savior, and by Christ Jesus, our hope. It is written, this letter is written to Timothy, my true child in the faith. May God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. This morning I want to talk to you for just a few moments on the life of Paul and Timothy and ask you this question, who are you? You see, the thing is with Paul is this whole chapter, this book of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, it is written to Timothy from Paul as a way of just, remember pen pals? Anybody remember pen pals? I used to have a pen pal when I was in probably, I think, 5th or 6th grade. We had a pen pal. And our pen pal, we would write them, and then our teacher would put it in an envelope, and they would send it to another school, and that school would get that paper, and they would read it, and then they would respond back. And by the time I got that back, I forgot everything that I had said to them. Like, it would have been probably weeks or months from the time I finally got the letter back, and I was like, what are they talking about? But it was cool because you would have somebody. Now, this is back in the day before, for those of you who are younger in the room, this is back in the day before email was big. This is back in the day before text messaging. It took a long time to get one message out to somebody, okay? We used to write letters. That was that stuff we took with a pen and paper. We would write it down. We'd put it in that envelope. That's that thing that's got the little flap. Okay. I'm just trying to make it easy for you to understand where we're at. But we would write these letters, and we would get the information and we would get it back. We would write out and we would get it back. Well, this is what's happening with Paul here. He is writing to Timothy. And when he's writing to Timothy, I really seriously wish that I could see what Timothy was writing to Paul. Because all I see in this message and these chapters is what Paul was writing back to Timothy. You see, the reason why Timothy was writing to Paul was because Paul was his mentor. Paul was somebody that Timothy looked up to and he had questions. And so Timothy would write to Paul and he would ask him questions, and then Paul would answer the questions to him, and he would say things to him, you know, telling him how to do your ministry. This is what ministry is like, and this is how I encourage you, and I want to encourage you in ministry in this way. So today I'm going to ask you, who are you? Because if Paul had somebody in his life that he was pouring into, and somebody that was being poured into him kept asking him questions, there has got to be a reason why it is in the Bible. It's not just for the questions to be answered and for us to see the things that Paul was saying, but it's for us to take it and have an example. So our example today is Paul and Timothy. But Paul was the leader. Paul was the guy who was leading Timothy to do the mission that he was called to do. So the first point this morning is this, is Paul had a responsibility. He knew he had a responsibility. You see, when Paul got saved and he became a voice for God, he knew that there was more than just serving God and telling people about him. He knew that his call was to take and find people that he could bring up and have them be a part of what he was doing as well. So he knew that he had to teach the next person. You know, I've always heard this said that the teenagers are the next portion of the church. They're the next big thing of the church. That without having teenagers in the church, you really don't have a whole lot of continued growth. Because they're going to be that next generation that grows up in the church. So you see that next generation and you wonder, what happens to that generation? What happens to those people? A few years ago, I had talked with some youth students, and I asked them a couple of questions. And I asked them one question. I said, what do you want from the adults? So adults, I want you to hear this. The teenagers in the room, I want you to see them. I am talking about you. But I want you to see what they said. I asked them, I said, what do you want from adults? And one of them said, we want them to talk to us. We want them to talk to us. And I sat there for a moment and I said, what do you mean by talk to you? And they said, they have a lot of information that we don't know. And we need them to guide us. We need them to tell us how to do something. We need them to correct us in love. They said, there's this thing about correcting that sometimes adults will just come up and tell us that you're doing something wrong, and they just point out the wrong things you do, and then they don't really help you. They said, if they're going to tell us that we're doing something wrong, at least help us to fix it. Help us to do it right the next time. And I said, okay. I said, well, what else is there? And they said, we want them to support us. And I said, okay, what do you mean by support? And they said, we don't want them to just support us with money and finances and say, oh, okay, you're doing an event. Here's $15 for you to go to camp. They said, we want them to support us and to pour into us knowing that we are the next generation. We want them to support us and say, hey, we know it's not just the pastor's job to pour into you. We know it's not just the youth pastor's job to pour into you, but it's the church's job to pour into you. You see, at the church, it is our responsibility to pour into that next generation. I promise you right now that there is a continued next generation in this building right now.
Yes.
See, I look right now and I see my wife is sitting on the front, right here. And our daughter is in the back, and she's in the nursery right now. But she's also in the nursery with a younger generation, younger than her. But none of that happens without my father-in-law, who's sitting in the second row this morning. You see, when he poured into her, then she poured into our daughter, and our daughter is now in the nursery pouring into another child. But you see, what's happening is that she's in there pouring in so that the parents of the child who is in the nursery can be in the service to hear what's happening and what God is doing.
Yeah.
You see, it becomes something where we start to see that there's a continual pouring out that we have to give. We have to continually be pouring out. You see, Paul knew that he had a responsibility to pour into the next generation,
yeah.
And one person that he chose was Timothy. So when we read 1 and 2 Timothy, we realize that he's pouring back into Timothy, answering the questions that Timothy has, because Timothy and him are apart. They're not close to each other. They're far away from each other. But one thing he says is, I hope that someday I'll be back with you. But until then, do these things. Until I'm with you again, do this step, then this step, and then this step. You see, this morning, one of the things that I see about Paul is that Paul laid his life down for Timothy to teach him how to do the next step. To teach him what it was going to be like to do what he was being called to do. You see, Paul could have just walked in and said, okay, here I am, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm just going to go and do my own thing, and whenever I die, the buck stops right here. It stops right here. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not following anybody else. I'm not showing anybody anything. I'm going to do what it is that Jesus called me to do, and whenever I pass away, it's over. But that's not what he did. The second thing is that we find out that Paul spent time with Timothy. If we read in the scripture, we find out that he spent time with him, but how do we know just by what we read in this one, two little passage, how do we know that? It's because Timothy was called Paul's child in the faith. I promise you that I'm not going to be called a child in the faith unless I'm spending time with somebody. Unless I have some time of interaction with them to where we've talked to each other, we've poured out things with each other, we've had conversations where I've said, you know what, I really need somebody to pour into me. I really need somebody to do something for me. I really need somebody to encourage me. Now this relationship that he has, it's a relationship where he spent the time that he needs to be able to pour into him. To where he spends that time with him, he can correct him on things that need to be corrected. Where he can walk in and say, hey, Timothy, you've messed this up. And this is how you fix it. Because he spent that relationship time with Timothy enough that he could look at him and say, bud, you messed up. You messed up bad. You see, when I was with Pastor Tommy, when we were in Missouri, I would look at him and we would go and do certain activities and we would go hang out and we'd go to their house and play cards and we would have a great time. And he would look at me and he'd say, at a certain point when we're hanging out, this is not any time for us to just talk about church stuff. He's like, this is just hangout time. We're not going to talk shop. We're not going to do anything more than just we're here just having fun hanging out. That having fun hanging out time was a lot more ministry than what I think he thought it was. Because you learn things about people, but you're taking things from them at the same time. You understand who they are, not just as a pastor, but as a person. You start to realize the things that you're hearing from them and what you're hearing them say and what they're telling you and how to encourage people. And you start to see that, hey, this hangout time is important. I've had moments where I've looked at Zach and Emily and I said, hey, come over to the house. We're going to have dinner or whatever. And we talk about ministry stuff. And a lot of the time it's talked about church things and what's going on. And then there's moments where I look at them and I say, okay, this is just Zach and Emily, Brian and Anna hanging out. Because I want them to understand that not everything we do is ministry related. We don't always continually have to be doing ministry work in order for us to have a relationship, but our ministry is going to be strengthened because of our relationship that we have outside of that. So Timothy and Paul, they spent time with each other. I could almost see Paul wanting to just be like, Timothy, would you please just go? Would you please just leave me alone for a little while? You know, I have moments where, you know, my kids, they start to drive me a little bit crazy, and I'm like, would you just go in the other room? Just go over here, you know, go do something, go find something. I don't necessarily make up chores, but I want to start making up chores for them to do so that they can go out of my room for a minute, you know? Just get over here and do something, because there comes a moment where I'm just looking like, it's too much right now. I'm wondering if there was times where Paul would ever look at Timothy and be like, dude, you need to go over here. Go do something else. You know, you're driving me crazy. Give me a chance to get some air here. You know, Timothy's young in ministry. He's asking a whole bunch of questions. But the third thing is this. Paul spoke the word to Timothy. He shared the word of God with Timothy. He shared the moments, the intense moments that he needed to share with him. See, in order for him to speak to Timothy, he had to not only have that relationship where he was able to talk to him, but he also had to share the word with him and say, this is what the word says. If you're going to follow me, you're going to understand that this is what the word is saying, that this is what I'm trying to show you to do. And he saw potential in Timothy, or he wouldn't have done that. But my question for you today is a simple question that I've asked several times, is this: who are you? Are you a lot like Paul, who you look and you say, okay, I can mentor somebody. I can show somebody something. Or are you a lot like Timothy? Are you a lot like Timothy where you ask a bunch of questions and you get a whole bunch of answers and you try to figure out what's going on? Because here's what happened with Timothy. When Paul was doing everything that Paul was doing, when Paul knew he had a responsibility to Timothy, Timothy was teachable. Timothy became a teachable person. I have a story about my uncle that's pretty funny. My uncle Larry always tells this story to me. We went deer hunting one time, and as we're deer hunting, we're out setting up the stands out in the woods. We're trying to get stuff, and he looks at me and he says, "All right, Terry, don't make it too tight." And I was like, "Terry, why are you calling me Terry?" So he tells me his story. He says, my brother Terry would always go on the weekends, and he would work on his car all week. And on the weekends, he would tear the car up. And every week, he would fix it, and on the weekend, he would tear it up. And so he said, one day, he said he was out there, and he was working on the engine, and he was working, and he was tightening it, and he was fixing this, he was fixing that. And he said, my dad came out, and he looked at Terry, and he said, "Terry, don't tighten it too tight." He said, "If you tighten it too tight, it's going to break, or you're not going to be able to get it back off when you mess it up the rest of the weekend." So he looks at me and he says, "Oh, it's fine." And he's cranking this bolt down. And he says, "Don't put it too tight, Terry." He said, "I'm telling you, don't go too tight." And the moment that he said it the last time, what happened? Snap. Bang busts off. And Terry's all upset, and his dad looked at him and said, "I told you not to go too tight." And he had to fix it. He had to take it all apart. And he had to redo it. So my uncle looks at me as I'm trying to tighten this bolt down on the stand, and he looks at me and goes, "Don't make it too tight, Terry." And I said, "Oh, it's fine." And I stopped. And what does he do? He grabs a wrench, and he goes like this to tighten it one more turn, and it snapped. And I looked at him and I said, "You didn't even take your own advice." He goes, "Well, I wanted to make sure it was tight." I said, "It's tight. It's too tight now." And he looks at me and he says, "I guess I should have listened to my own advice." I said, "Yeah." I said, "You probably should have." But here's the thing. With Timothy, he knew he had to be teachable. Because if he wasn't teachable, then Paul would have never continued to teach him what he was showing. If Timothy wasn't applying the things that was wrote to him in the Bible, the things that were wrote to him in these letters, Paul would have stopped trying to mentor him. So here he has this teachable moment that he knows he has to be teachable. He has to be somebody that's being able to be taught. But then he also had to be trusted. Have you ever looked at somebody and you said, "Here, I'm going to teach you something," and you teach them, but you don't really trust that they're going to do it right whenever you get them away from it? I got to be careful with what I say, but I know somebody who's like that. Somebody who you would try to get them to understand something, and they would say, "Yeah, that's great." But then when you walk away, you know they're not going to do it the same way that you told them. They're not going to do it the same exact way. And moments of looking at them and just going, "Okay, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to walk away. I'm going to come back, and it's not going to be right." I've looked at my son and I told him something and I said, hey, I need you to go do this for me. And I turn around and I come back and I'm like, what happened? Well, I did what you said. Okay. I forgot that even though I said it, I had to walk through every step with you to get you to understand what I was saying. But you see, what happened is that Timothy became trusted enough by Paul that Paul would continue to write him answers of the questions that he had. They had a relationship with each other. They were able to pour into each other. And then Timothy, on the last step, Timothy heard the word from Paul. It's kind of interesting to me that we said that Paul taught Timothy the word, but then Timothy heard the word from Paul. See, Timothy understood that what Paul was saying when he wrote in 1 Timothy 4:12, it says, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, but be an example to them. Paul showed him, hey, even though you're speaking at this point, you're talking to people here, understand, just because you're young doesn't mean anything. My question for you today is easy, and it's the same one I've asked several times, but who are you? Are you Paul? Are you the person who is leading people? Are you the person who is showing people who Jesus is? Or are you like Timothy and you're saying, hey, I need a mentor. I need somebody to pour into me. I look at a lot of different things and I've seen things all over the place, but in my job, I noticed one thing that I have a mentor at work. I have a Paul at work. And if somebody else comes behind me that's new, I'm going to have a Timothy at work. Have you ever noticed that in the secular world that we do that? There's a CEO, there's a guy who made this company and started it from the ground up. And the first thing he does is he does what? He brings people in who don't know the job and he teaches them how to do that job. And then when he's done teaching them, they go and they teach somebody else how to do the job. And they go from a company that has one person to a company that has 500 people. How does that happen? They're continually teaching people how to do the job. Somebody is teaching and somebody is learning. And then when they get done learning, they're sharing their experience with the next person. What I thought was funny was the other day that I actually was at work and I had somebody who was above me that has been there for a long time and I showed them something and they're like, I didn't even know that was there. I was like, oh. The Timothy just came to Paul just now. You know, you're like really excited because I just showed you something you didn't know. But you've been here forever and I haven't. So you get excited about that. But see, here's what happens with us in church. We start to invite somebody to come and we say, hey, we want you to come to church and we want you to walk in with us and come and sit with us and we're going to take you out to eat afterwards or we're going to go do this or we're going to do that. They come up and they get saved and we look at them and we say, all right, you got saved. Awesome. Here's the pastor. He'll take you the rest of the way. See you later. You know what? That person doesn't, and I'm going to say this, and please don't get upset when I say it. That person doesn't need the pastor. Because they're looking for the person who brought them to continue to show them what to do. You know, it's okay for you to bring them to the pastor and say, hey, pastor, they need mentor. But don't get upset when pastor looks at them and says, so go do it. So mentor. So pour into them. Because here's what I know and I understand is that there's going to be moments where somebody's going to come to you and they're going to say, can you show me what it's like to be a Christian? Can you show me what it's like to surrender my life to Jesus? And when you walk them in and you say, hey, this person, I've been talking to them at work, and I've been doing this and I've been doing that, and now they have this relationship with Jesus, they're going to look at you and say, okay, now we've got this relationship, I'm taking this part, I'm taking this step, and now we need, what's the next step? What do I need to do now? Because here's what's happening, is that they're using your relationship with them to become Christians and followers and to say, hey, I want to lay my life down and do this thing, but I need somebody to mentor me. You know, I talk to Ed every Sunday. And every Sunday he tells me the same thing. I say, how are you? And he says, I'm on the green side, so I'm good. But can I say something to you this morning? As a mentor, as a leader, as a person, as a Christian, as a follower, if you're on the green side, you need to be finding somebody to pour into. It's okay to have somebody that you're like, hey, I'm talking to them and this and that, and that's amazing. But we can't ever sit and say that we don't have anybody that we're talking to. I don't have anybody that I'm pouring into. I have nobody that I'm sharing Jesus with. Because if we're not sharing Jesus with the people around us, they're never going to just walk in the door. We have to be proactive and get out and be in the community and talk to people. See, that's the whole part of lead for us.
Yeah.
We want to lead people to a relationship with Jesus, but we want to lead them to a place where they feel comfortable enough to say, I need to lead the next person.
Yeah.
Who's the person that's coming in after me that I need to work with? You know, Zach and Emily, I talk about them a lot because they're part of the group, and I can do that. Part of the team. Zach and Emily have a call on their life to do something. Zach wants to be a youth pastor. Emily wants to be a worship pastor. That's amazing. That's awesome. I'm excited for that. Which is really funny because my wife wanted to be a worship pastor, and I want to be a youth pastor. So how is it if I just decided that, hey, Zach and Emily want to do youth ministry and do worship, and I decide that I'm not going to pour into them? It's like you're literally training up the next person right next to you. They're sitting right here. They want to do your exact same thing that you just did. And if you don't pour anything into them, what are they going to see? My dad goes to me one day, and he says, you know, he goes, there's going to come a day when your grandpa's not going to be able to get out of the boat. We're not going to be able to do what we've done before. And he said, if I don't take you and you don't take your kids, it's going to stop. It's not going to happen. So we were out of the boat a couple weeks ago. We caught a bunch of fish. We had a good time. But one thing I looked at him and I said, I got to get my kids out here more often. I have to get my kids out of the boat and teach them how to do this. Because they don't know how to do it. I'm not taking them out into the boat to do it. And I looked at him and I said, you told me something one time, and it was, if you don't do this, it's going to die. If we don't pour into the next generation, it's going to die with us.
Come on.
I'm going to read this that I wrote in my notes. Author and pastor John Ortberg writes in a book. And he wrote in this book, he said, if you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. Is the name of the book. But he wrote this story about his family, and it says this. It says that his grandma had died, and his grandfather calls his daughter-in-law and tells her that he has a box full of china that he wants to give her. So they go up to the attic. She brings down this box full of china. And when she brings this box full of china down, he starts to open up the box. And she sees this amazing china sitting in this box. All of the pieces. And says that she asks her husband about the dishes, and when she asks the husband about the dishes, he finds out some more information, and this is what he finds out about the dishes. He finds out that the grandma had asked for these dishes when she was a kid, and she didn't have enough money to financially be able to afford all of the dishes. So she was getting piece by piece whenever she could find them. And she found all of these dishes sitting in different locations, and she pieced them all together, and she wrapped them up in bubble paper, and she took really good care of them, and she put them up in the attic. And when she passed away, they went up to the attic, and they got these dishes, and they brought them down, and they handed them to her, and they said this. They said, here's these dishes that she never used. Expensive dishes, valuable, the most elegant fine china that you could ever have or want. But he says this in a little excerpt next to it. They never used the china. Not at special occasions, not for Christmas, not for anything. They never used the china. It sat in a box in the attic. A full set of the finest china that you could ever ask. And he finishes the story off and he says this, don't die with your greatest gift still in the box. Don't die with your greatest gift still in the box. Because what happened is this lady, she literally had her best gift that she ever wanted and ever had sitting in a box wrapped up in the attic, never touched. And now somebody else has it. And will they use it? Or will they just keep it stored, wrapped up in the box, put it in their attic for the next person to find it? See, she had this amazing gift that she could have used. And she could have had opportunities to utilize that gift. What conversations would have came from a dinner setting where she was sitting there having conversation about these amazing fine china that she has? What could she have said? Hey, I didn't have the money when I was a kid to buy china for my parents to afford it. So I would get this pieces after pieces after pieces, and now you're getting to reap the benefits of what the sacrifice that I made. What does that mean for us this morning? What that means is this. We can't just sit here. We can't just sit here and come in on Sunday and leave the same way and walk in on Sunday and say, oh, I'm not going to talk to that person at work. You know what's funny is I hear a lot of people say, hey, would you pray for me this week? Hey, pray for this person or pray for that person, or hey, I'm really struggling today. You know, hey, I'm praying for you. Are you? Is that just something that you're saying? Or are we actually doing it? See, because there's people who are looking for somebody to mentor them. There's people who are looking for somebody to say, hey, this is what I have. And for us as the church, it means this. When people come in, we're going to show them who Jesus is. We're going to lead them to a relationship with Jesus. We're going to show them what it looks like, because I'm going to allow them to walk with me and see what it is that we do on a daily basis. I told Zach, you know, I said, there's going to be moments where you guys are going to come and we're going to hang out. And you're going to see I'm going to have dirty clothes. I'm going to have dishes. The grass may not be cut. It's okay. You're going to see daily life. I said, but I might look at you and say, hey, Zach, I got to run to the grocery store. Why don't you come with me? Hey, Zach, I got to go to the church and work on something. Why don't you come up here? Because that's the moment where they start to see that I've spent time with them. And then that time that I spend is also time to be able to minister to them, to be able to reach them and talk with them. So where are you in this place? Where are you today? Are you a follower? Are you just say, I'm just going to follow Jesus? Or are you somebody that says, you know what? I'm Timothy or I'm Paul. What's funny is that we don't understand this a lot of times, but we're both. We're both. We are Paul and Timothy together all the time. Because I promise you that there is more of God that I don't know that I can learn from somebody else. But there's more that you can learn that I can give to you. There's things that are going to happen where I don't know everything and you may know about it, but there's going to be stuff that you don't know that I do. Me and my father-in-law, we go golfing all the time. We need to go more often because we don't get to go as often as we want. Let's go, right? But there's moments where I'll sit and we're getting ready to go off, and I'm like, what am I doing wrong? And he'll show me something I'm doing wrong, and I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. But I promise you, if we went fishing, he would be looking at me going, what am I doing wrong? What's happening here? Like, what do I need to do? Because there's stuff that I know that I can show him. There's stuff that he knows that he can show me. There's going to be somebody who's going to walk in and they're going to say, I'm already a Christian, I already have this, I already know this. But can you show me a little bit more about this? Can you help me pour into me a little bit? This morning I want to challenge you. As I wrap up this morning, I want to challenge you that you are Paul and you are Timothy. So I want to challenge you to find somebody, one, I want you to find somebody that can pour into you. Find somebody who's going to challenge you, who's going to speak to you and say, dude, you really messed that up. Dude, you said this, and I don't think that's really what you meant to say. Somebody who's going to kind of kick you in the seat every once in a while. Because when they kick you in the seat, that means you're being corrected. And correction isn't always a bad thing. But then I want you to find somebody that you can pour into. Somebody that you can look at and say, you know what, I may not have it all together, I may not have to know every answer to every question, but I'm willing to find it. I'm willing to help you. I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to walk with you in this thing. Because you know what? If we really look at it, we don't know everything. Some people may think they know everything, but we don't know everything. And yes, you can teach an old dog new tricks. It's possible. It's possible to show somebody who thinks they know something, show them something new. You see, for Paul, he poured into Timothy. But Timothy poured into his church that he had. Timothy poured into the people that were around him. And you know what happened in that moment? When Paul showed up and Timothy got with him, he was able to say, hey, remember all that stuff that we had talked about before? This is the guy that showed me. This is the guy who had all that knowledge that I was just leaning off of him, and we were working together and we were answering questions that I didn't even know. He's the one who helped me. So I talk about Pastor Tommy all the time. But there's moments that Pastor Tommy would reach into me and he would say, hey, you need to do this. This is how you do this. And he said that there was this time that he went to a conference and he saw one of his youth kids that he poured into constantly. And they were youth pastors now and they started talking about stuff. And all of a sudden they started seeing his teenagers. And they said, oh, you're that guy. You're the guy that he talks about that helped him with this and that pastor who did this. You're the guy who did that. And he's like, I felt like I was like a superstar. He said, I'm not a superstar, but to them I was. Because I continued to pour into that person. And that pouring into them allowed them to be poured into as well. So for me, church, I want to say this. We're going to be a church that follows Jesus. We're going to be a church that utilizes the word. But we're also going to be a church that leads other people. I'm encouraged, Zach. I'm encouraged, Emily. I'm encouraged, my wife. We want to find people that we can reach out and touch. And reach out and be able to say, hey, we want to walk with you. And we want to find people who are going to mentor us as well. We want to find somebody who's going to speak into our lives so that we can continue to speak into the next person's life. Because I don't want to leave here with the best gift I have still sitting in the box. I'm going to pray this morning. We're going to dismiss, but I just want to encourage you this morning. Find somebody to pour into. If you're on the green side, you still have time to pour into somebody. If you're on the green side, there's still somebody who can pour into you. Allow them to pour into you. But allow yourself to be poured in and pour out as well. There's something that you have that somebody else needs. It may not be here in the building. It may be at work. It may be in the community. It may be in your next door neighbor. But allow them to pour into you. And then allow yourself to pour something into somebody else. God, I thank you for this day. God, I pray, God, that as we leave here this morning, that we are encouraged, God. God, that we know that you have a plan for us. God, I ask, God, that we would continue to pour into people. Let us find somebody to help us, to encourage us, to pour into us. But God, let us pour into this community so that they can see the light of Jesus and who you are. God, we thank you that you are doing something new in us today. We praise you, God, this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, thank you for coming today. We love you. We will see you next week. Shake hands, tell somebody hello. We will see you next Sunday.